Right, good evening, Claire. We're going to start on another chapter today. We're going to turn your book to chapter 15. We're going to look at the basis of being delegated authority is revelation. Now, it's going to be a little bit different this afternoon because we're going to take another route and look at appointing, God appointing authority. God appointed authority. Is God appointing authority is a supernatural thing. God appoints authority supernaturally. It's not a natural thing that men think they can choose and pick or take positions on their own, as we're going to find out that some of the people dealing with Moses did. They wanted to take a position on their own, saying they all were equal. But God didn't think so. And we're going to find out in the scriptures in Numbers 17 of your Bible. And we're going to begin reading at that first verse. Numbers 17, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading through the Darby translation. Right out of the book. If you're following your book, you're going to do well. Because I'm going to read this whole 11 verse. And we're going to see what was happening. But to really understand the verse 11, 1 through 11, we almost got to go back to the 16th chapter of Numbers to get a better idea of what was happening, what transpired to cause God to make this this supernatural proving of authority here. Now, let's begin to read, and we're talking about the basis of delegated authority is resurrection, and we're going to find out just what the resurrection fit in here. And Jehovah, verse 1, and Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of them rods, one for each father's house, of all their princes, according to their father's houses, 12 rods, write thou every man's name upon it, upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For there shall be one rod for each head of the father's houses, and thou shalt lay them up in the tent of meetings before the testimony where I meet with you, or where I meet with Moses. And it shall come to pass, everybody say it shall come to pass, that the rod of the man whom I shall choose shall bud. Notice who's speaking of God said, the rod of the man in whom I choose shall bud. And I will make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, where they murmur against you. They murmuring against you, but they don't know they're really murmuring against me. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and all their princes gave him rods, for each prince's one, according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before Jehovah in the tent of the testimony. And it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that Moses went into the tent of the meat of the testimony. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. Now, why the supernaturalness here? He said the rod was budded. Now, notice this was a bare rod, a rod. I'm going to explain it more as we go. But the rod normally wouldn't bud. But God said it was going to bud, so it did. The rod was budded and put forth buds and produced blossoms. Three things it did, four things it did. It budded, put forth buds, it produced blossom, and then it bare ripe almond. It just didn't bear almond. It bare ripe almond. Isn't that something? That's supernatural. And Moses brought out all the rods from before Jehovah unto the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod, and Jehovah said unto Moses, put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony of in the Ark of the Covenant where he told where they meet, for him and Moses meet, to be kept for a token against the children of rebellion. He called them the children of rebellion. You don't want to be called that. That thou mayest make an end of their murmuring against me, that they die not. See, the whole thing was, God tolerates things for a little bit. He always give us space to correct ourselves, get things right. But rebellion, the end of rebellion, if it's not corrected, causes death. And God said, I don't want my children to die ahead of time. So I don't want that they die not. Thus did Moses, as Jehovah commanded him, so did he. In Numbers 17, verse 1 to 11. Now let's get into our lesson a little bit. Now we're going to start looking at these things point by point, because I want you to catch a hold of the revelation of authority and the revelation. We're going to use this word here of election. Election. How God elects authority or those whom he wants to lead as people. It's not a natural thing. God always supernaturally elect authority. Now, point number one is the purpose of the incident in Numbers 17 is to deal with the rebellion of the people of Israel. God, I have to go back to the 16th chapter a little bit. Well, we'll be talking about three companies, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They all came against Moses, and then they had the 250 renowned men. Those people were saw like leaders in the congregation, people respected and to look up to. They were distinguished men among the congregation. And then you had the congregation, which were influenced by the leaders. Leadership, wrong leadership, can influence a congregation against the things of God. And so Moses had to intercede for the people that God would not destroy them all. God told Moses, stand back from the tents of these men. He's talking about Korah and Dathan and Abiram. He said, that I may consume them in a moment. You see, God was operating from a short stem. You know what I mean, a short stem. It burns off fast. And God wanted to consume it. You know. But Moses, because of the heart of God he had, the leadership that God, this was God chose him because of this leadership, prostrated himself before the ground. And Aaron did likewise. And so God stayed. And then God stayed the punishment. When I say stayed, he stopped it and did not permit himself to totally destroy the whole congregation. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but even after these men saw the destruction of the ground opening up, cleaving open, and the people falling to the ground alive, even after saw the 250 men that God burned, that had the censer in their hand, coming before God, because they're the one they were supposed to work with Aaron, but they thought they were equal with Aaron, and they're the one that began to raise the voice, the Levites, against Aaron. Moses said, what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And they began to raise their voice in opposition, in rebellion against Aaron. And Moses said, you want the priesthood also? And so he had to deal with the people because they thought they were equal and they had just as much right toward the people as Moses did. He said, you're treating us as mere subjects. You rose yourself above us, and then you think you're more than us. And Moses had to deal with that. Moses fell on his face again. I think three or four times Moses fell on his face before God, you know, because he knew he's doing none of those things upon his own. Well, point being said, I want to look at now these people rose up the next morning after they seen all this the day before. They rose up the next morning still murmuring. And God said, I got to put this murmuring to an end. That's when he called Moses here and called Aaron. And told him to get the rod and take the rod and cut the rods off both ends. And just so they can just have a staff. And bring the staff, write your name on it. And then we're going to put it before the tabernacle. And then where I meet Moses at, and the one tomorrow who is a bud, that's the one I choose. Now, a rod, just a plain rod or a stem of a tree, a branch of a tree, don't normally just rot overnight by itself. Don't bud. It don't blossom. It don't produce fruits. So that was a supernatural manifestation of God. We're going to call it resurrecting. A dead rod brought life to it to prove how he called his children. Now, with that being said, I'm trying to prelude us. So when we get in this lesson, we'll pretty much understand the significance of the rod budding and the way God chose or chooses leadership. Now, God's whole point was that the people die not. I'm saying that again. He said, I don't want people dying because of rebellion. I don't want that. No, I want my people to live. I want to bring them to a place of rest, a place of prosperity, and long and a good, happy life. But I got to stop this rebellion. God said, I can't do it with this rebellion in my midst. I can't bring you where I need to go when you're opposing my leadership. Same thing with the pastoral guidance. God can't bring the congregation where you want to go if they're not respecting the leader and not submitted as they're supposed to be. So God will prove to Israel that the authorities came from him and that he had a basis and a reason for establishing them. You see, he had everybody in his place for a purpose. And after he called Aaron and he told Aaron what to do, he said, Aaron, now you're responsible for all these people now. If anybody messed up, he said, I'm going to hold you responsible for it. So authorities held responsible for the conduct of the people. And when the people error, God said, I'm holding you, Aaron, responsible when they error. He said, so if you make sure they don't mess up. He said, because certain places I want them to go, certain things I don't want them to touch. He said, if they touch it, both of you all going to die, you and them. I read that for myself. You and them going to die. So authority holds such responsibility that God holds you accountable as the authority, both for yourself and for the people. My goodness, what an awesome, and some people just want to be an authority, but they don't know the responsibility that it carries, that it comes with being an authority. But when God chooses authority, he have a reason for it, for establishing it. Now, every person in whom God grants authority must have the basic experience. This basic experience, what? The revelation knowledge of resurrection. Otherwise, he cannot be appointed by God. In other words, you got to have this experience that God has separated you from among them. Now, we're going to begin to talk about the rod in particular in a little bit, and the purpose of the rod and how the rod relates to people, leaders, okay? Now, resurrection is the basis of authority, right? God commanded the 12 tribal leaders to get 12 rods, one for each father's house, and put them in the tent of meeting before the testimony. That's where God met at. Some say, well, the tabernacle, where the tablets were, where God kept the covenant, the tablets of the covenant. The rod of the man whom God chose would sprout. God did that just supernaturally. God knows how to settle argument. You see it? A rod is a piece of wood. I'm just explaining. I'm so some of you all know this, but I'm just reading the book because you have more information than I do. A rod is a piece of wood, a branch of tree. Cut on both ends, it is cleared of leaves on one end and of the root on the other end. Once it was alive, but now it is dead. In other words, you cut it from the root, and the life comes from the root. So it's not supposed to sprout. That's the point he's bringing out here. That's just a supernatural thing. You see it? Once it was alive, but now it is dead. Formerly, it drew sap from the tree and was able to bloom and bear fruit, but now it is dead. It's a dead rod and can't do anything. All 12 were stripped of leave. All 12 rods were stripped of leaves and roots and were all dead and dry. But God said if one should sprout, it would be the rod of the one whom he had chosen. This suggests that resurrection is the basis for election. Now, underline, if you got your book, underline the word election here. Election is God's choice. Resurrection is the basis of God's choice, as well as for authority. You see it? God always used resurrection. Might not use the same principle of the rod sprouting, but God had to put a resurrected life upon that person that called them out from among them. Something different. We call it life, but really it's an anointing that separates and it makes the rod different from other rods. You see, apostle is not only our pastor, he's our spiritual leader, he's our evangelist, he's our teacher, he's our prophet. You know, what I'm saying is God has put his blooming rod upon him. What do you mean blooming rod? The rod sprout, the rod blossom, and the rod also had ripe almonds, ripe fruit. So all that comes upon those that God has chosen, and that rod represents not the rod so much, but the blossoming and the ripe fruit represent the special anointing that God placed upon leaders that separate them from us all. Now we're gonna find out as a rod itself, they all were the same, but it's the anointing that made the difference on the rod. You see it? Some people think they might have a position by calling themselves, but they don't have the blossoming of the rod. They don't have the ripe fruit and the bud, the sprout, the bud, the blossoming of the flowers, and the ripe fruit. God had all this thing in one. The whole process was on a rod. The bud, the sprouting, the bud, the blossoming, the whole process and the fruit. And it's almost like God said, I've taken him through the process. I've taken him from the bud. I've taken him from the sprout, the little stem that stick up. I take him from the blossoming of the sprout. And I took him to the full corn in the ear, or I took him to the ripening of the fruit, or the ripening of the almond. What am I saying, Claire? God called those that he had taken through the process. See, Moses went through the process on the backside of the mountain with his father-in-law, Jethro, and his wife and his children. God took him with the sheep. God took him through the process. You can't be an authority unless you went through the process. There's always a process. Yeah, I'm seeing something here. I'm seeing the bud process. I'm seeing the stem as a process. You see it? The sprout, the bud, the sprout, the blossoming. See, right before the blossom come right before the fruit. The fruit don't come before the blossom. Then after the blossom, the fruit come out of the blossom. So you have to go through all the process of being an authority. Well, little did they know, the other 11 tribes, that Moses was chosen. Now, this suggests that resurrection is the basis for election as well as for authority. In chapter 16, the people rebel against God's authority, appointed authority. In chapter 17, God confirmed the authority he had appointed. You see, God knew that he would have to do something because 14,700 died at one time. The plague started. God, the next day after the fire destroyed the 250 men, they came murmuring again in the 16th chapter and said, Moses, you have killed the people of the Lord. All the people are holy, and you've killed God's holy people. Well, God didn't waste any time then. The Bible says instantly the cloud moved over the tabernacle. And then God told Moses, Moses, get out of the way. I'm about to destroy all these people. And then Moses, oh man, he fell on his face with the leadership God had put in him, the love that God had put him, the grace that God had put him, the experience of being around God he had put, I'm showing the blossoming in the almond. We're talking about the blossoming in the almond. Moses went through the process. He knew God. He well knew God. He well knew God enough to stand before God and told Aaron, get your censer and go among the people. Well, by the time Aaron went through there, just in a moment of time, see, the Bible said Aaron will stand between the living and the dead. And before the plague was stopped, 14,700 people had perished. Well, God, that's not God's desire. That's not God's desire that people die because of rebellion. God never desired that people perish. He always wanted them to come to light and come to understanding and come to know his ways. But God is a consuming fire. You're not gonna get around and just think you're gonna do things anyway. And that's what God was telling them. You're gonna have to do it my way, or you're gonna have to get out of the way. And so 14,700 guys had to get out of the way. I'm not talking about move aside, no. They died by the plague. And I want to say the one that died was the one that was the forefront of the group. You see it? The forefront, the one that was closer to Moses, the crowd. And by the time he got to where he stopped at, I think he got most of some of them just was in there because they didn't know no better. But the radical group always to the front. And the stragglers that don't know what's going on always stay close to the back. They don't really know what's going on, but they say, everybody going, I better go too. I don't want to miss the bus. No, you better know where that bus is going before you get on. And so, God had to deal with him because he didn't want people, he wanted to put an end to all this murmuring and of the people. But the people had no right. Listen to this statement, Claire. The people had no right to act for God's reason. Nonetheless, God condescended himself to inform them what his basis of establishing of authority was. You see it? Because why you made Aaron above all of us? Why you made Moses above all of us? You see, God didn't have to explain himself. God didn't have to prove himself. God always want to help people. Always want to help. The basis was resurrection. Remember that statement. The basis for election is resurrection. And God will resurrect whom he want to resurrect. God usually take nothing and make something. Are you with me? Are you with me, Claire? Naturally, both Aaron and the Israelites came from Adam. Notice what I'm about to say. I'm going to show you something here that I learned through Dr. Nee. Naturally, both Aaron and the Israelites came from Adam. Both were children of wrath according to natural life. There was no difference. These 12 rods were all the same, all strip of leaves and root, and dead and lifeless. What he's saying is that normally all men made naturally of the same material. From the beginning of Adam, the creation, God made all men a certain way, spirit, soul, and body. But God has a way to choose because God has foreknowledge. Everybody say foreknowledge. God knew who gonna love him the most, who gonna stay humble when you raise him up. Now you might take through some training. You see it? But God knew who's teachable, God knew who's not teachable. God knew what's in a man's heart. You can have two brothers and God pick one and don't pick the other. Esau, Jacob. Yeah, how would you choose Jacob over Esau? Are you with me? God knows these things. God knows these things. So God knows exactly what he's doing. So God used his divine wisdom to constitute his authority. Authority depends not on person, but on the resurrection. Some people don't want to die all the way. They got a certain amount of pride they want to hold on to. They got a certain amount of themselves they want to hold on to. You see? Oh my goodness, I can't help but talk about Apostle. I learned everything I've learned from him and from his teaching and from a great example that he gives us and lives before us. He said Sunday, he said, I live what I preach. He said that Sunday, yesterday. I live what I preach. And he was talking about the demonstration of Psalm 128. He said, I live that. I live Psalm 128. And so in the process of what I'm saying is, God knows how much a person is willing to die to themselves. God knows, you see, how much a person is willing to humble themselves. And so I say this, my apostle lives out of 1 Corinthians 2. I with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. In my preaching, my teaching, were not enticed in word of man. You know the scripture of wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power. And he talked about his life. He tried to take an English course, but he messed up with his anointing. So he left that alone. So God knows how to choose a person. He chooses them according to the character of their heart. He know he can bend them and shape them and form them like he wants. He know that they're not going to get caught up in themselves and pride and arrogance. And that's why he can trust them with so much. How much can God trust you with? My goodness. So Aaron was not different from the others, except God had chosen him and given him a resurrection life. That's the anointing to go with what you're doing. What you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apostle, so I'm reminding myself of what the apostle told me some years ago. If you remember, you wasn't always God's first choice. You see? And that stuck with me. That stuck with me, knowing I wasn't God's first choice. God tried to use other people sometimes. He would test them and try them, see what's in their heart. But then he'll search heaven until he finds somebody that can wear his spirit and his anointing. Sprouting of the dried rod keeps men humble. Oh, this is a good one. Sprouting of the dried rod keep men humble. Now let's go to this lesson class, because you got to find out that you're going to have to stay humble. Apostle talked about that in the lesson he's teaching now. He's teaching the reverential fear of the Lord. Now, if you never learn how to humble yourself, you're not going to walk in this reverential fear of the Lord. See, so it's God who makes the rod sprout, not you. In other words, you can't call yourself. You can't take a position. He says, I'm gonna be a preacher. Yeah, you can be a preacher if you want. I'm gonna be a teacher. Okay, that's fine. I'm gonna be an evangelist. Okay, be an evangelist. I'm gonna be a pastor. Okay, be a pastor. So what I'm saying, Claire, you just can't sprout yourself. God gotta sprout you. It is he who puts the power of life into a dead and dried rod. The rod will sprout, causes both the owner of that rod to be humble and the murmuring of the owner of the other rods to cease. See, we're still talking about the lesson here. It does two things. It caused the person who owned the rod, which was Aaron, that was his rod, to be humble, and it shut the mouth, and it humbled the people of the who didn't get the rod, but saw this rod sprout, and then now I know that God called Aaron, because here my rod still bare. You see, I don't even have a little leaf on it. If God could have put a little leaf on my rod, a little bud, I don't even have a bud on my rod. So shut up and stay in your place. You see, no bud means no bud, no sprout, no blossom, no full ripe means stay in your place and stay submitted. And don't try to make your rod bud. You can stick your one end in the ground and try to make it bud. Say, bud rod. No, that rod ain't going to bud unless God put the life and the resurrection in it. I hope you understand what I'm saying, class. This rod we originally take as dry and dead and hopeless as Aaron, but it sprouts and blooms and bears fruit. On the second day, we ought to weep before God and say, this is your doing. It has nothing to do with me. This is your glory, not mine. And that's the glory of those of you that have a genuine call on your life. It's not no doing of your own. I remember when I was going through when God was putting his hand on me, I didn't know what was happening. And apostle, way back a few years ago, I may have shared it with you, but it's a good time to plug this in right here. We're talking about sprouting of the rod, you see. And so we sat in the van. He's going to preach at a prison. Remember he said yesterday, he said, I preach in prison. He said, I went everywhere with my pastor. He said he would stay at some houses. Every house he went to the serve communion, he preached. Well, he's telling him how God humbled him to do what he did. And that's the reason why his rod sprouted and blossomed and bear ripe fruit. And then I'm sitting in the van with him. And I said, Pastor, well, back then we didn't know anything about apostle, but, you know, I believe he'd been walking that office pretty much most of his ministry. But I said, he was studying, you know. I said, Pastor, I believe I'm called. He raised his head up, looked at me. He said, you're not called. He went back to study. I said, oh, God, what am I going to do with this? But lo and behold, time passed, and then he told me, see, I knew you was called. He said, but I can't call you. He said, God got to call you. And then I knew for myself, God confirmed it to me that I was called. And then everything else was just a matter of sitting under the feet of the apostle and learning. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. But God always, always confirm his calling. Always let you know when you got a sprout coming up on your rod. Hear what I said? Let me know when your rod sprout. So you have nothing to glory in it. Nothing to glory at all because it's not your doing. You see it? You can't take no credit for anything. And we're about to see something else here. We will naturally be humble before God, for it is truly the treasure in the earthen vessel, demonstrating that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. Now, you see that? Now, so that's why we can't glory, because God put his divine heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel. And you know none of the power really belongs to you. All you got to do is stay fit so you can carry and transport that power and be able to obey God and do what God said do, or not. He took it from Saul. He stripped his anointing from Saul, the anointing to be king. So is it possible for God to remove his anointing off of a person when they don't walk in line with what he's doing? Yes, it is. Samuel wept for Saul. Saul said, God said to Samuel, because Samuel was spending too much time weeping, for mourning for Saul, because Samuel loved Saul, because he had been with Saul from the beginning of his reigning as king. Saul wasn't always like you at the end. He may have had some pride that never got taken care of. God may have tried to help him, but he refused to see the error. And God had to deal with him in another way. But God had to finally tell Samuel. He said, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? Seeing you didn't reject him, but I reject him. And that brings me to another point. You know, sometimes people leave ministry, and sometimes people rebel, get in rebellion, And sometimes they separate themselves from the vision, from apostle. And so God was separating Samuel from Saul. Then the Bible said Samuel went into Saul's presence no more. And so I saw that, I caught a hold of that. I said, when people, you know, come to the place where they reject my apostle leadership, I said, they reject me too. And I said, so I can't be in any fellowship. I can't fellowship with people who are not in agreement with what God is doing with my spiritual leader. Some people like to stay friends and say, oh, that's not love. Yeah, but ask Saul and Samuel that. God separated them. You see it? God separated them. Amen. I didn't mean to go way over there, but it's a little side trip. And I thought it was good to share that, because sometimes people try to fellowship with people. They have nothing to do with their pastor, their leader, and they try to draw you into their little game. Don't get drawn into their rebellion game. That old spirit come upon you, and you might say, oh, you know, you might be right. No, stay away from them. Don't go in their presence no more. Right between you and the Lord. Only the foolish, listen to this now. Only the foolish can be proud. Those, trying to make sure my timer, my goodness. Those, only the foolish can be proud. Those who are favored will prostrate themselves before God, saying, this has been done by God. There's nothing of which man can boast. It is all of God's mercy, not of man's running. In other words, you can't do anything. See, when God put his calling on you, it's all is God. And all you can do is submit yourself to the mighty hand of God and walk in the spirit of obedience. I think that's the last one I can cover, Claire, before my time. I'm looking at, I got 2 minutes left. But he said, what is there that has been received? For this is all of God. Choosing. What is there that has not been received? For this is all of God's choosing. Well, what he's saying is that, well, let me read, then I'm going to tell you what I believe he's saying. Let us accordingly realize that authority is not based upon us. In fact, it has no relation to us. Hereafter, whenever Aaron uses authority in ministering to God, he could confess, my rod is just as dead as the others. In other words, he didn't have anything to bring it on his own. Everything that Aaron possessed was of God. All his instruction came from God, and all of his doing had to be in line with what God says in his word. If he didn't, God would have to correct him or deal with him in another way. Well, class, that's the far as I can go right here. You've been a good class. You're listening real good. And I'm going to try to take up right where I stop here next week. So I'm going to see you, and you just be blessed. Amen.